In the name of Jesus. When I came to know that the text assigned for preaching today came from 1 Corinthians 12 on spiritual gifts, I immediately remembered some 20 or more years ago when I was actively engaging in a campus ministry as a student. This was a time when the church growth movement materials from Fuller Seminary kept on invading the churches in Japan. And so I was on one occasion recommended to take a spiritual gift inventory, only to find that I had a gift of being a pastor. Of course, I knew at that time already that I was going to attend the seminary to be a pastor, but such a result was not uncommon among those of my friends who also took the inventory. This was not really surprising because many of the biblical texts used there spoke of the holy ministry. After all, every member, a minister, was a slogan behind that inventory, suggesting that you are only worth something in the church when you are playing little minister. St. Paul doesn't speak of the spiritual gifts that are independent from the giver, God. Accordingly, every statement of the gifts in the confessions derives from the fact that God is the giver. As giver God, he is gracious. And to confess him as such a God is faith. It is faith to look to such a God for every gift. Faith has nothing to talk about except it is given. Except for what is given. What is given is everything and always more, as John's Gospel says in chapter 3, concerning the Holy Spirit, there can be no measurement. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit, so proclaims St. Paul this morning using the baptismal imagery. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives you the confession of Jesus as the Lord, as the Savior who went on the cross to answer for all your sins and who now delivers to you that forgiveness through the means of grace. In order for the means of grace to be going on, the Lord has given us the office of the ministry, and those who receive his gifts are the church, AC 3, 4, 5, and 7. It is fitting to appreciate the work of the Holy Spirit as the giver of faith, or as the giver of life, as Nicene Creed states it, during this week of the Holy Trinity. In fact, Dr. Luther confessed the entire Holy Trinity by way of the giver and the gifts in the large confession of 1528. The Father gives himself to us with heaven and earth and all the creatures in order that they may serve us and benefit us. But this gift has become obscured and useless through Adam's fall. Therefore, the Son himself subsequently gave himself and bestowed all his works, sufferings, wisdom, righteousness, and reconciled us to the Father in order that we might also know and have the Father and his gifts. But because this grace would benefit no one if it remained so profoundly hidden and could not come to us, the Holy Spirit comes and gives himself to us also, wholly and completely. He teaches us such good deed of Christ, shows us and helps us to receive and perceive it, use it to our advantage and give it to others, increase and extend it. The Father gives his gifts. The Son gives his gifts, and the Holy Spirit also gives his gifts. But from our point of view, the actual sequence is the third article, the second article, and the first article. Only when the spiritual gifts with a capital S are given to us, we may recognize creaturely things of the first article also as spiritual gifts with small letter S. First gifts first. those which create a Christian, enliven, sustain, and bring to completion, as they are confessed in the third article. Second gifts which may be given to one Christian and not another Christian, crucially gifts of the first article. But through and through, our Christian lives are lived within all the gifts which come from our Lord alone. Again, faith speaks only of what it is given, and the giver of spiritual gifts both with the capital S and small letter S. The opposite of such a Christian life is a life which pays attention to ourselves. The opposite of faith is unbelief, which refuses to receive every good from God. A God whom gifts are not received, from whom gifts are not received, is an idol. So reminded St. Paul in our text when he wrote to Corinthian Christians, "You know that when you are pagans, you are led astray to mute idols." Most religions in the world still believe or worship gods who are not the givers. Their gods are supposed to be feared, gods are supposed to be served, gods are supposed to be pleased. Otherwise, they threaten you, they judge you, and they punish you. Those who pay attention to ourselves are idol worshippers, because they suppose that they are self-sufficient and so are not interested in receiving any good from God. It is actually by mutual concern of both idol worshippers and idols, because idols are not interested in giving any gifts, and they are not able to even speak. Such a way of living in unbelief may not be only a story of a pagan alone. We tend to boast about ourselves too. From the moment we were born until we die, we are constantly evaluated by others, by parents, by teachers, by colleagues, by bosses. Our life is spent in the area of what the theologians may call justification before man, not before God, where we are evaluated according to our performance and accomplishments. We want to feel good about ourselves before our classmates when we remember tough vocabularies and grammars of Greek and Hebrew. Since most people are not really satisfied with their present situation, as psychologists tell us, we try to improve our life. We want to be wealthier, healthier, and smarter. We want to live longer, gain more recognition, and increase a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment. We want to be more powerful. Along the way, we may live as if the Lord did not exist, as if the Lord did not care about us, as if we were not responsible to Him. Our culture tells us that we ought to be able to boast of our own strength. It is therefore striking to hear from St. Paul differently, who boasted nothing except for his weaknesses. He said, "I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Why did he say that? Because Paul heard from the Lord, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness." Indeed, it is for those conscious only of weakness for whom Christ instituted the Lord's Supper and says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Recognition of weaknesses is openness to our Lord's gifts and their having their way with us as gifts. So as we continue to celebrate the Holy Trinity, we confess Him as the giver. We are given the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Be weak. Be a beggar. Be counted among those who cry to our Lord Jesus, Kyrie eleison. Let your Lord have a free course in bestowing you what you need most, the spiritual gift of forgiveness. What your Lord did on Calvary is for you. Amen.